My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Coming up in about 2 hours, 45 minutes or whatever. We couldn't do math. By the way, there's 34 games left in the Orioles.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, 7-5 is 12, not 13. Thanks, Nolan. Right. Here's the 105.7 The Fan calculator.
As we just got done saying that in the past segment, don't end up like us.
Yeah.
Right, stay in school, kids.
That's right, Mike. You teach them to learn their goes into there. For sure, Mark. Mike Bordick's joining us now. Enough. Let's get out to the phones as Bordy's joining us. Our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Oriole Hall of Famer. 6 o'clock, me and Mike and Nolan be at Pickles Pub getting ready for game one against the Astros. Mike, what's up? Mike Bordick. Oh, Tony Petty. I'm sorry. Tony, what's going on?
You can keep asking for Mike, but I wasn't going to answer.
All right, Tony. Again, you're my boy. You know that. Tony Penty, everybody. OrielsHangout.com. Bordy joining us at 11:30. Brandon Young. Tell our listeners who he is and how he's going to help the Orioles maybe in the final 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, you know, Brandon is a good-looking prospect that's really come on the scene this year. I mean, he's been around a couple of years. He's a TJ surgery survivor, as they say. He's come back this year throwing a little harder than he did before. He's still a 92 to 90, you know, 92, 93 kind of sits. He'll touch 94, 95 on occasion. You might get a good inning where he's sitting 94. He's got a big curveball, which is okay, but the changeup is his real weapon. It's a real weapon against lefties. It also, he can throw it right on right as well and get swings and misses underneath the hands. So it's a good pitch. He's a 6'6" guy. He gets a lot of extension. It allows the fastball to play up a little bit. So even though it's not extreme velocity, you do see him get a lot of swing and misses up in the zone on the pitch. So can he help? Right now, I think he's probably starter. If anyone else goes down, he's probably a guy that's probably next on that list of getting that call up there. Whether he can help in a bullpen or not, you know, we never know, because you don't know how guys, if you've never seen them pitch in relief, you don't know how they're going to react to having to warm up quickly, having to pitch on less days rest. There's a lot of things that come into whether a guy can just pitch in relief, and you don't know how he's going to look in that role. So I'd be surprised if he ends up being a guy they throw out there without any experience in the minors of doing that. But I do think that he could potentially end up with some starts in September.
Now, Tony, you watch the games like everybody else, and you go to the games, and the Orioles, their bullpen is pretty bad right now, for lack of a better word. They're just not that good. And we've seen the results, certainly in New York against the Mets. Anyone down on the farm that could come up here in late August and help this team stem the tide, hold off the Yankees, overtake the Yankees, and ensure that close games become wins for the Orioles instead of everyone biting nails for the final 3 outs?
I sure would like to say yes, but there's really not nothing in AAA when you look at the relief side. I mean, Brandon Young's probably the best guy right now that they could bring up. You know, you had Chase McDermott, who went down on injury. That he's out for the rest of the year, so he's not an option anymore. You know, they've already seen Povich up there. They're bringing Vespi up. You know, Vespi is who he is. So there's really nobody down there that you're like, man, this guy's just waiting on his turn. And part of that is just the philosophy the Orioles have taken on how to build the bullpen. You know, they've gone about trying to just, they're always trying to rehab somebody for somebody that wasn't quite good somewhere else. They think they'll be better here, or they get a guy off the waiver wire and they think they'll fix them here. And sometimes they've had some successes. You have Webb, who has been very good. It's a guy that got off the scrap heap. You know, Perez is a guy that was DFA'd that they got off the scrap heap that has done really well. So they've had successes, but you also have guys that just, they are who they are. That's why they were DFA'd. So when you don't draft and develop pitching, which, again, getting back to the fact that, Elias now has had, six drafts, and he's never drafted and developed one pitcher. And you can see that now in the upper levels of the system. There's not guys that have those impact arms that you can bring up and make them into relievers. And when you draft guys late in the draft, left draft guys, 10th round and later, you get kind of what you get. And maybe you get lucky with a Brandon Young, but it's going to be rare to have that. So he's just got to hope the guys he has are going to step up. You hope that with Webb and Kalum hopefully coming back in September, that will be a big boost to the pen, because the Orioles really missed those two guys for sure.
Tony Pat, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here, video at Haney 105.7 The Pat. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it, and we get your votes in for featured artist Friday as well. All right, let's talk about a positive. Position players, which Elias has done brilliantly, drafting and developing Enrique Bradfield, last year's number one pick out of Vanderbilt. He's leveled up this season. Tell our listeners about how he is a guy that is still highly regarded in the organization. Tony, we knew the speed. We knew the defense was 80 level for sure. How's that offense starting to improve here?
Well, he did get the bump up to Double-A, and he's handled himself pretty well since he's been up there. He hasn't looked overmatched. It's a new level. There's going to be some ups and downs when that happens. He's still learning how to hit, and he's still learning to hit for the driving the ball. He was really kind of a slap, hit the ball on the ground a lot and use his speed in college. Obviously that's tougher in the pros. And as you get, the higher you get up, the better the defense gets and the harder that is to make work, even with great speed. So he's learned to drive the ball more, get the ball in the gaps, and be able to do that. And he's doing that some more. You're seeing that, and that's come with a little bit more miss in the bat, and it's a little going to take him, I think, a little bit longer than maybe we would have hoped with a first round pick. But I think I see progression. I see him moving up. Like you said, the speed and defense is there. That's not going to be an issue. We just need to get him to a point where hopefully he can become, an everyday guy out in center field and not more of a fourth outfielder kind of guy, which is realistically his floor. I don't think he's much less than that. I think he'd still be, the worst case scenario is a guy that doesn't hit a lot, but he's going to be so good defensively that you're going to kind of live with the low OPS. But hopefully he's not that guy. Hopefully, we'll see that ball. I don't think he's ever going to have a lot of power, but I think we can get doubles out of him, and you get some triples, and you can get the guy driving the ball. He becomes a valuable guy at the major league level at some point.
Hey, Tone, were you surprised at what Povich did Saturday night? Because he was outstanding Saturday night.
No, because that's what Povich does when he has his command. We saw that in the minors, too. We saw some big strikeout games down the minor leagues. When he was on, when he was commanding the fastball, commanding that sweeper, even the change was working for him. I mean, he was commanding three pitches well. When you see him doing that, he's going to have success because, I heard a lot of people, the guy doesn't have very good stuff and this and that. Well, I've seen the stuff, and I've seen it be very good. And obviously, when he came up here, I don't know whether it was nerves, whether it just didn't have great command those days, you don't really know. But, he never was showing the command. When you're walking a lot of guys aren't going to chase pitches out of the zone as much at the major league level. So he had to start getting guys to swing in the zone. And you can only do that when you start getting that stuff in the zone more often. And that's what he did last Saturday night. And again, we've seen that before in the minor leagues, and then we've seen him come out and have a couple of them in a row, and then we've seen him kind of throw a stinker in there. So I think that's kind of who he has been. That's who we've seen so far at the major league level. And hope is as, again, the more experience he gets, the more comfortable he gets, the more consistent we see out of him start to start.
All right, Tone, save situation tonight. Who you throwing in there?
That's a tough one, isn't it? I'll tell you, the guy who's probably throwing the ball the best out in that pen right now is Perez. You know, he's missing some bats. You know, he's not necessarily the guy I really want to be out there. But when you look at his high leverage numbers, he actually pitches really well in high leverage. He has struggled with runners with two outs, having two outs and runners in scoring position. That's been a struggle for him. And I think that's what a lot of fans see. You know, we're almost out of this thing. Boom, he gets up the base hit. And a lot of times it's somebody else's run, so he don't get the earned run. But when he starts an inning, he's been very good. When he's pitched late, he's one of those guys that when you put him in big situations, he tends to come through. You can tell it. He has that kind of drive. He doesn't wilt. So I think that's a guy that you might start seeing get some more opportunities, because obviously I'm okay with Dominguez being out there if we got a 2 or 3 run lead. Clearly, with his penchant of giving up home runs, you have to be concerned that the game's close or tied.
Tony Pettit, OrielsHangout.com. Real quick, Tony, what's the status report on Chase McDermott right now dealing with a shoulder issue?
Yeah, I don't think there's been any updates. The Orioles are usually pretty close with that. We just know that it's some sort of shoulder scapula kind of issue, and that I believe everything we've heard is he's out for the rest of the year. So I don't know whether it's the surgery situation. Again, the Orioles are usually pretty mum on that, but hopefully we'll get some information will start floating out a little bit, so we have a general idea of whether he'll be back next year at some point.
Well, Tony, we figured out there are 34 games left in the regular season. What's happening at OrielsHangout.com right now?
Well, everybody's nice and calm, and nobody's concerned about the Orioles losing of late. We're just talking about the Orioles all day long. We're tracking the prospects. The DSL season just ended, so we'll have a wrap up of the prospects that are down there, all the way down in the Dominican, and we'll have that wrap up soon out, and people can get that information at OrielsHangout.com.
Tony Pettit, OrielsHangout.com. Tony, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony.
There's Tony Pettit. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the whip around. I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer? But a multiple-time All-Star retired yesterday from Major League Baseball, and the Denver Broncos have named their new starting quarterback heading into their opener of 2024. And we'll look at this day in Orioles history during the whip around. And then Mike Bordick joins us at 11:30. Talk about the struggling Orioles who somehow, some way, are only a half game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Came out of first.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 1057 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request plus for tax line 410-583-1057. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us at the bottom of the hour. Talk about the Birds hosting the Astros tonight, 7:08. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Live for Pickles, me, Bordy, and Nolan McGraw. Ready to rock and roll. Come on down, say hello. Ravens taking on the Packers at Nitschke Field in a matter of minutes, and we'll get updates. We'll share them with you. Most important thing, obviously, is neither team deals with an injury that could be season-altering.
Yeah, that's number one. Yeah, the injuries, no injuries. That's the biggest thing. They get great work and no injuries.
And we'll talk more about the importance of the scrimmage when we get to news from the net coming up at noon. But let's get to the whip around. And in the world of the National Football League, and we'll talk more about this with Mike Harmon later in the show. We're into fantasy football. My cousin Alan's got his, I almost cussed. Got the fantasy draft on Saturday.
Damn.
Fantasy. I used to think, Nolan, my only fantasies were girls in Catholic school uniforms or French maid. But as of now, an old geezer, don't want to get too creepy. My fantasy is winning some dough with football players. And we'll talk to Mike about that. Cordell Woodland, talk Ravens at 12:30. But let's get to the Denver Broncos have named a starting quarterback and a guy that's doing something that hasn't happened in that organization since John Elway.
Nix wants the throw. Zips one in. Wide open. Cortland Sutton. Inside the five. Robert Rochelle brought him down.
Broncos TV on the call. Bo Nix. First round draft pick out of Oregon by way of Auburn. He will become the first Denver rookie quarterback to start since John Elway. Back in 1983. Sean Payton made that announcement. Denver's expected to be on the poor side this year, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And with Bo Nix, I mean, he drafted him. I mean, when you take a guy that high, they were going to start him. He had to fail. He had to be totally awful not to be the starter.
Now, Deshaun Watson was supposed to play in Cleveland's last game, but Stefanski shut him down yesterday. General arm soreness for Deshaun Watson coming back from shoulder surgery.
Is he pitching for the Orioles?
Well,
it fits right in.
It can't be worse, you know, with the deal. But,
yeah,
you know, they're always the concerns, it seems, with a guy that used to be a certainty for the Houston Texans.
He just seems like he has one thing after another. Ever since he's been in Cleveland, I mean, Bob, and that's... You do Cleveland radio all the time and stuff. I mean, that's the only question they got. And that's all we talk about. What Deshaun Watson are they getting? I mean, now it's been, what, 3 years?
Sure.
I mean, we kind of, you know, you're not getting the Houston one.
If he is the Deshaun Watson we saw in Baltimore in the second half of his last game,
yeah,
or was he 15 or 16 or something crazy as they won here in Baltimore, if he's that guy, the AFC North could be flipped all over the place here.
Yeah, just like, you know, if Russell Wilson is the same guy he was in Seattle.
And speaking of him, he's going to play, says, in the Pittsburgh.
He needs to play.
Preseason finale. So it's an interesting division, interesting quarterback quandary for certain teams for sure. Major League Baseball, a guy that's won an MVP, a guy that's won a Gold Glove, a guy that was a multiple-time All-Star. He hung up the cleats. Who is he? Well, listen to this.
Votto hammers it. Center field. Brandon Nimmo back. Seventh heaven. It's seven consecutive games with a Joey Votto record.
say Bally Sports on the call there. Joey Votto retires from Major League Baseball at the age of 40, playing on the farm in Toronto's system. As we said, 2010, National League Most Valuable Player, won a Gold Glove, 2011, six-time All-Star. He'll retire with well over 300 homers, over 1,000 ribbies, on-base percentage over four, which means every time he went, four of every 10 times he got to the plate, he got on base. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't want to get into dissecting his career to that level, but Joey Votto was kind of an underrated star. Cincinnati had some really good teams during his time there. Never became world champions, obviously, but Joey Votto, hey, man, great career. Made a ton of dough. Seems like, I've never spoken to him, but one of the great guys that we've seen come along baseball in the last 25 years or so. So congratulations to you, Joey Votto, for your accomplishments. Just the whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. Iowa head coach football Kirk Ferentz suspended one game for a recruiting violation trying to bring in Cade McNamara from Michigan. And one of his assistants got pinged.
They had a receiver coach
as well. And McNamara expected to start for Iowa, but by no means is he a runaway winner of that job. And what's Iowa's problem been?
Offense.
They can't score.
Right.
But Kirk Ferentz, the longest tenured coach in FBS or whatever the hell they call that.
And now. And the violation occurred in 22. I don't get it.
Kirk Ferentz used to be an assistant for the Ravens when Ted Marchabart.
He's an O-line guy. And that's why, you know, look at all the great O-linemen and tight ends that Iowa has had.
Yep, Ted Marchabrota, the late great coach of the Ravens and the Colts. Kirk Ferentz was here in Baltimore way back in the infancy of the Ravens organization. This day in Orioles history, it's August the 22nd, 1973, Memorial Stadium. Orioles beat the Twins 4-3. Brooksy! Three ribbies by Cuellar, complete game, picks up his 12th win. Orioles on their way to the AL East Championship. 1997, Mike Bordick was on this team. Oriole Park, Camden Yards, Geronimo Baroa, two ribbies. Rappy drove in a run. Scott Erickson picked up his 15th win. Randy Myers, 39th save, 3-1 over the Twinkies. 2016, against the Nats, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Scopolo, he went deep, and so did Trumbo.
Oh.
As Dylan Bundy picked up the win.
Whoa.
What is this, 1976? Zach Britton, 38th save. Orioles 4-3 on their way to, as our buddy Ross Grimsley would say, the play-in game. And they got played out in Toronto. But 4-3, 8 years ago today, Orioles beat the Nats. It's 58-80-105-7. The Fan. Orioles lose yesterday in New York. Second walk-off loss of that series. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us to talk about that. Got the Whipper, or excuse me, Funhouse coming up 11:45. And then news from the Nest at noon. Ravens in in Green Bay. Ray Nitschke Field joint practice with the Pack. As we get news, we share with you here on The Fan. Mike Bordick. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Bob? Welcome back, baby.
It's good to be back. Can't wait to see you tonight there, Mike Bordick. And we look at this Orioles team. And let's start with the three major concerns that old Bob Haney has outside of real-life stuff that I got thousands of those. Orioles defense. Great. Still ranked statistically among the best. But yesterday, kind of tanked on them. A couple of nights ago in the 9-5 win, Gunner, you know, kind of booted a routine ground ball. Why all, and maybe Westberg and Mateo's absence, I don't want to talk for you, but why has the defense become somewhat shaky when it was a foregone conclusion they were one of the best teams in baseball in that area?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's just the youth. You know, I think as fans, we've got to understand how young Gunnar Henderson is, how young Jackson Holliday is, and where they are right now. They're in the big leagues, man, trying to, you know, make it to the postseason, make it to the World Series. I mean, there's a lot on their plate, and I'm not saying they can't handle it. I don't think they'd be in the big leagues if Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde did not think they could handle it. But they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to be not as consistent as maybe a guy that's been around a little bit more and had more repetitions under his belt. And I'm not saying that they're not bad. They make great plays. I think they've got really good range. I just think right now the Orioles, as a whole, are just in a little bit of a rut. And it's tough in this game, but it happens through 162 games. There are ups and downs, and it's how you deal with it. And can you stay positive? And can you stick with your routine? And I think it's really important at every high level of sports, you've got to establish a routine, and you've got to build on it. And it's something to fall back on and make you feel better every day, something that you can really hang your hat on. And I'm not saying that the Orioles don't do that. I know they do, because I know it's one of the hardest working teams. But in their mind, they've got to trust that all the work they've put in, all the focus they've put in, hitting off the tee, taking ground balls, working with Manzo, the infield coach, learning from other teams and other players, and just playing the game. Accept that. Accept the work you put in and go cross the lines and have fun like a kid would. And that's kind of the hope, that they keep the blinders on and they just keep playing with reckless abandon and let them go do their things. Now, I'm kind of critical to some point about some of the detail stuff that happens with our young infielders, like Jackson Holliday dropping the double play ball the other day. There are a couple plays, I think, that, you know, give you a little concern. I don't know that Jackson Holliday's dove for a ball yet. I know he slid on his knees for a ball, but actually laying out and making one of those kind of, you know, five-star plays. And Gunner, it's just a matter of experience and, you know, kind of taming that internal clock for him, which comes with time, man. Bob, I'm telling you right now, I was 35 years old when I finally figured out, or at least felt comfortable in the field, where I read hops better. I understood tendencies of hitters. I knew my own pitchers. This is a long, drawn-out process. And if you expect a 20, 22-year-old kid to do that, it does not happen very often. I think we should be really happy with what we have right now and expect to see these guys for many more years in an Orioles uniform.
Point taken, Mike Bordick. Now, I mentioned Jordan Westberg. The loss of Westberg has affected them how? Not only defensively, but offensively, because the Orioles, they put nine up one night. They get three hits. The guy's throwing a perfect game into the sixth inning. They got three hits and a win against Boston over the past weekend. The absence of Jordan Westberg means what to this team?
Well, he was their best clutch hitter. I mean, my gosh, can he put an at-bat together? And I think that's really, you know, what opened people's eyes about Westberg. I mean, he's a blue-collar guy, but, man, when push comes to shove and there's a guy on base or the Orioles needed a big hit, he was the guy. I mean, it's just so dependable to square balls up and put some pressure on a defense and give you a quality at-bat when it mattered most. And I'm not saying there are other guys that aren't capable of doing that. I still think, you know, the Orioles are taking pretty good at-bats. It's some tough luck right now, and it's a mental grind for sure. But he seemed to be the most consistent, and it's fun when you have somebody in that lineup that you can kind of say, okay, he'll be here for us again tonight. And man, through my career, I had those guys all over the place. Like, Ricky Henderson would win a game by himself. You know, Cal Ripken would just take over a game and do something incredibly special. Just so many great players that rise to those occasions, and it's fun as a teammate to have those guys in your lineup. And I know these guys miss him, because I think, to be honest with you, collectively with all the injuries, I think these guys are just trying to pick up the slack for everybody that's not there. And I'm talking position players trying to pick it up for pitchers, bullpen guys trying to pick it up for starters. Everybody's trying to pick everybody up, but I think they're just kind of in their own way, where they're trying too hard. And like I said, not just trusting their routine and just go out and play, man, and have fun, because that's the kind of energy and freedom we like to see, man. That's why I've thought they've been the best team in baseball all season long, by how aggressive and just, you know, sometimes they make over-aggressive mistakes, but, man, that's what's going to win nowadays, putting that kind of pressure on the opposition. And I hope the Orioles can continue to do that, because they'll come out of it. But you can't just sit there and wait for something to happen. You can't say, okay, tonight hopefully we get the big hit. Keep working hard at it. Keep pushing the envelope, and you'll push through, break through the other side, and then you'll get back to being comfortable winning ball games again.
Yeah, give me a bat. I'm ready to go out there and kick some ass right now. It's Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. As you know, Bordy, old Brandon Hyde takes a lot of heat. The Hyder hook and hook him Hyde and this, that, and the other in regards to the lineup and how he handles his pitching staff. I'm not making excuses for him, by the way, everybody, but given the injuries and what Brandon Hyde has to work with, is he getting the most out of what he's got throwing baseballs right now?
Man, I think he's trying as hard as he can. I think he is just like us as fans. Like, what's going on? Why can't we find a way to get on a little bit of a roll? He himself has admitted we're looking for some hot arms to finish up a ball game right now. I mean, he literally doesn't trust anybody in his bullpen. He's concerned about the innings that have been piled up on these guys because of short outings by starters. He's worried about a lot of stuff, and he's worried about the lack of success, just the amount of failure at the back end of games, because this team continues to fight now. I mean, the Mets series was a bizarre series. They score a run on a balk, and then boom, next pitch, a home run to come back. Arias ties it up, right, with the home run, and then to have the win just sucked right out of the sails is really hard for players to take. And then, of course, it happens again, you know, yesterday. So that's really hard, that emotional swing. And when you get beat like that, dude, it knocks you down. And even, you know, as professionals, you know you get another chance the next night. But, man, when it happens time and time again, it's really tough. You start questioning and second-guessing. And that's what we're all doing as fans, just trying – I don't know. I think it's a way of supporting Brandon Hyde, but we're so critical because – it seems like recently every move he's made, something not good has happened. And, you know, I feel for him in that regard, but somebody really has to emerge. I mean, you cannot just sit these guys on the bench and you know, let Cano eat up the rest of the innings the rest of the year, or Perez. And they've got to pitch, and they've got to be pros and find ways to execute better, get a bigger out, not fall behind in count, stay aggressive, and trust your stuff. It blows me away when I see pitchers that throw 98 miles an hour fall behind trying to be too fine. You know what I mean? The reason you have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball is there's more room for error. Chuck that baby up there. And try to locate, of course, but my gosh, they mess around, and they fall behind. And I could probably – no, maybe not, but step up there. If you tell a big league hitter a fastball's coming, they're going to have a pretty good chance to get on it. That's why so many pitchers throw – they mix it up, right? They throw a lot of sliders, a lot of curveballs, changeups. So they try to be unpredictable. Well, that 3-0 count the other day, how can you fall behind that guy? He hadn't hit a home run, you know, in months. And next thing you know, it's 3-0, and he gets the green light, which was kind of a surprise. But still, if a big league hitter knows a fastball is coming, they will get on it.
Hey, Bordy, now I'm sure you'll talk about it on Baltimore baseball
all
tonight. Right.
There you go.
Right. Who are you going to throw in there to save a game tonight?
I'm calling Kobe Mayo back up and making him a closer. The guy's got a cannon for an arm. You know, it's funny because I rack my brain about this too. And it's not like you just all of a sudden want to say, okay, we're giving up on this guy and we're going to try this guy out. And I know we talk about Suarez, you know, where would we be without him in the rotation, right? But if for some reason the Orioles feel a little frisky, I mean, I wouldn't mind trying Suarez in the back end or one of these starters that might be questionable about, you know, the amount of innings they've thrown. I mean, don't you have to try to experiment a little bit, maybe in some cases? But, you know, right now I think Cano and Perez are the two back end guys. It's just a matter of keeping them rested. So somebody's got to balance out the ship out there in the bullpen and pitch just a little bit better. And my gosh, let's get the offense scoring 5.5 runs a game. I think our chances would be a lot better if we did that.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, he will be at Pickles Pub tonight with me and Nolan McGraw. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, getting you ready for Game 1. 4-game series against the Houston Astros, who have won 8 straight games on the road, but just lost 2 out of 3 at home to the Boston Red Sox. Bordy, appreciate it. See you later on this evening.
Thanks, Bordy.
All right, Vinny. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Mike Bordick, everybody. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Come back reset for you. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Ravens in Green Bay taking on the Pack joint practice, which I believe is underway as we speak. We'll count that late week money with buy or sell. Then Cordell Woodland, talk Ravens with him, our colleague here on The Fan. Get his thoughts on the projected 53-man roster and if the Ravens are looking outside of the organization for help, at what position are they helping? with playoff hopes that go beyond winning a game, trying to get deep into the postseason. But John Harbaugh talked about some things outside of the scrimmage, and we're going to hear from that top of the hour. As we get news from Ray Nitschke Field, we will share that with you over the next 2 hours. We'll count that late week money, buy or sell. That Cordell Woodland will project a 53-man roster with Cordell. Get his thoughts on the most surprising and maybe the most disappointing player as training camp has come to an end. NFL lunch coming up 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Yankees and Guardians at 1. So we give you the score there as that unfolds. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Talk real and fantasy football with him because 2 weeks from today, the Ravens and Chiefs kick off the regular season National Football League. So that means Baltimore Game Day Uncensored returns. And as I'm still trying to get reacquainted with the clock, Vinny, for BBT, I can't even remember what the clock was like for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored because it's been 7 months since we've done it. But I'm looking forward to it big time.
And it's coming quickly. And Bob, I mean, yeah, cut down day is Tuesday. And then it's on to Kansas City, and it's all out for the Chiefs. I mean, then all of a sudden, you know, like when you cut down, you go from 90 to 50. I mean, the place looks like it's empty then, you know, and then you start to get, buttholes get a little more puckered because it's for real.
Balloon knot. As they say, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, what's happening?
Doing pretty good. You know, lost in the shuffle yesterday of a terrible finish for the Orioles was Cole Irvin's return. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that Cole Irvin was fantastic yesterday, but given the circumstances that the Orioles are in right now with their rotation, for him to come in, give the team a chance to win, threw 83 pitches, threw 4 1/3. So obviously a little inflated, more than you would like there. But I think, all right, if once he gets stretched out again, or had he been stretched out yesterday, maybe Hyde lets him go a little longer. I'm not saying I hate the decision to pull him there because he had a couple runners on base. Selby's look solid for you, so you try to get him in there and get out of it. But all things considered, I thought Cole Irvin yesterday was encouraging. Maybe a sign of good things to come, and they need good things in a bad way.
Undecided pitcher for Sunday against Houston. It's Burns, Povich, and Suarez tonight, Friday, Saturday. As he earned it, I don't think he'd be doing proper rest for that. What's that, Thursday? Yesterday was Wednesday, or Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Now, he wouldn't be ready to rock and roll, but I think he stays around. It's not like he's one and done back to whatever. They'd have to DFA him because he's out of options. If they're winning 7-0, he probably pitches through the fifth inning. But it was a tight ball game at the time. So Brandon Hyde had to go to the bullpen, which he's got pretty much zero confidence in, it seems. And C&L Perez as the closer? I don't know, man. He gets a little scatter arm too, when it comes to the command. They're screwed. They really are. I mean, they're screwed.
Does Hyder, instead of, you know, having the quick hook, do you keep your starters in a little bit longer because you're looking for outs in the bullpen?
It seems as though 100's the magic number.
Yeah.
And then once you hit that, you're gonzo. I mean, Kramer, I think, was on 100 on the nose a couple of nights ago. To that point, do we need Burns to start getting deeper into ballgames here?
Oh, definitely.
Because it looks like he had that inning every now and again where he just kind of, he'll be cruising along and all of a sudden the speed bumps start hitting him in a big way. I'm thinking Burns got to at least get into the seventh inning tonight.
Right. Well, that's one of those things where Hyde and really the entire front office's philosophy, you can't have it both ways, right? You're in this situation where your bullpen is completely unreliable. So as Vinny said, in that situation, it would be nice if you let your starters go a little bit longer. But then every time we hear from Hyde talking about the health of his starting pitchers, he always wants to take this cautious approach because, all right, well, we don't have a bullpen. We got okay starters. If we lose our starters, then we have absolutely nothing at that point. So I think he's even more protective of his starters at this point in a situation where you might be or should be leaning on him heavier.
I'm not saying that he needs to throw 150 pitches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
he needs to pitch like a dude where he's 95 pitches in the seventh inning.
Right.
That sort of thing. Instead of laboring through at bats or an inning, which seems to do him in, and I'm not saying he's been terrible. He's been brilliant. He's a Cy Young level guy. But in an hour in late August, now you start earning that big old money contract that you're expecting to get in the offseason by horsing it up a little bit. Little vintage Verlander, vintage Scherzer, Garrett Cole, that sort of Burns in Milwaukee. It's time to take, as great as he's been, started the All-Star game for bleep's sake. As great as he's been, it's time to level up when they need him to. They need to win tonight because with Povich going tomorrow and then undetermined on Sunday, I mean, they lose tonight. You know, we're counting on Suarez to save the day unless the offense all of a sudden starts blasting away here. I don't know. I'm starting to sound like a concerned fan all of a sudden. Because quite frankly, I am right now.
Well, he's got to do what an ace has got to do. That's part of the job description when you're an ace. You got to be the stopper when you need it. You got to lead the way for the rotation. When you find yourselves in these situations where the team's scuffling, you can't have an outing like he had last Friday, where he's given up 8 earned runs.
Thank you, George Bamberger. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest coming up next. Going to hear from John Harbaugh. We're going to count some dough, hopefully 12:15, and talk about the sports subjects of the day, buy or sell. And then Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. Project the Ravens 53 and what players have been outstanding and maybe a little debatable in training camp. And then a funhouse trip since we couldn't do it here. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.